Okay, so if you've got your Bibles in front of you, can you find page 1153? 1153, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Spiritual gifts. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, last week I watched a vicar called J. John. I suspect some of you have heard of him. Canon J. John now. And I watched him interviewing Mike Pilavachi, the man who set up Soul Survivor, the camps, and then the church in Watford. And he told how he became a Christian at 15, but was too frightened to tell his parents because they were really fierce atheists. He kept going to church, to Bible studies and prayer meetings, whilst telling his parents that he was going to pubs and nightclubs, which they were really happy about. In the end, his youth leaders persuaded him that it wasn't good to keep lying to his parents, and they persuaded him to go home and tell them that he'd become a Christian. With much trepidation and really doubting whether this was the right thing to do, he did go home and break the news to them. He was quite right to be worried. They went ballistic. His mum was upstairs crying, and his dad was downstairs yelling. Mike stood halfway up the stairs, not sure what to do. And in his terror, the Holy Spirit filled him and he spoke in tongues. This did briefly stop his parents from crying and yelling. And they stared down at him and up at him as he stood on the stairs. His mum then cried, "And now you've gone mad!" And his dad then stopped speaking to him. Sadly, he stopped speaking to him for 3 months. This did have a silver lining, because in his pride, he wouldn't even speak to Mike to tell him not to go to church. So Mike carried on going. And by the time his dad began to speak to him again, it was really rather too late to say, you can't go to church. Fast forward to when Mike is hoping to set up Soul Survivor Church. He visits with some friends a warehouse in Watford, believing it to be the right place to move into, because their small little church that began in a home is growing and growing, and they need to buy somewhere to use. This warehouse is going to cost £300,000. They don't even have £3,000. They begin to doubt if it's possible. And they question God. Is this really right? And then, in a strange turn of events, some hired sound equipment that they've been using is stolen from a car and not covered by insurance. And the cost to replace it is about £3,000. Eating up even their small starter savings. The following day, Mike gets a phone call from someone he has never met. Someone he doesn't know. Someone who has heard God speaking directly to him. And so he tells Mike, God has told me to give you a check for £3,500. But it comes with a word. This check comes along with this command from God. Don't ever let money stop you doing what God has told you to do. They do go on trusting God, and eventually they buy that warehouse, and Soul Survivor becomes a large and thriving Anglican church, ministering to loads of people and being a base for an amazing work of God amongst young people. Well, in that story, we see and we hear many of the gifts of the Holy Spirit at work. In our passage today, we're told to expect these wonderful gifts to be part of our normal Christian lives. Paul tells us that they are good gifts. They're all from the Holy Spirit. They are for the building up of the church. They're all important and everyone gets to use them. We're all expected to receive gifts from the Holy Spirit. That list isn't exhaustive. There are other gifts too. But Paul gives us those as examples. We shouldn't, therefore, like earlier on, I don't know if any of you were wishing that you had been the clapping group rather than the ooh-wee group, but we shouldn't wish that we had gifts that other people have. We shouldn't resent someone else because of what God does through them. Sometimes in an orchestra, people resent the first violins because they seem to think they're very important. Some people might resent the trumpets because they make such a lot of noise. Some people might really resent the oboe because they always get to sound that first note for everyone to tune into. But this passage says we need to expect to play our part, whatever gifts God has given us. Gifts like the gift of wisdom, simply being sure what is the right thing to do. Maybe the right thing to say, like Jesus knowing what to say to the enemy when he was fighting temptation in the wilderness. What wisdom? Maybe the gift of knowledge, having something revealed to us that we couldn't possibly have known otherwise. Like Jesus knowing what people were thinking to themselves. Maybe the gift of faith, being so sure of our Father's love that we expect great things from him and attempt great things for him. Maybe the gift of healing, the spiritual gift of praying for someone and having them get better, like Jesus did for blind man Bartimaeus. Perhaps the gift of wonders, something miraculous, like multiplying a picnic lunch so that it becomes a feast for 5,000 plus people. Maybe the gift of prophecy, speaking out the word of God for a specific situation. Jesus gave warnings to those who were against him, but he also encourages Peter that he'll be a key building block for the church. That's prophecy. Maybe the gift of discernment, being able to distinguish what is from God and what is not. Like Jesus recognizing the faith of a Roman soldier and the hypocrisy of the religious leaders of the law. Maybe the gift of tongues, foreign languages or heavenly languages, as I was mentioning earlier, they seem to have been given for the first time at Pentecost. A clear demonstration of the Holy Spirit at work, and one that was given in order to reach out to other people, helping other people to believe. And interpretation, a vital part that goes alongside the use of tongues, so that people can understand what is being said by God or to God. Now, not one of these gifts is any better than any other. Just like your parts were not better than any other. And at times, each of us will be equipped and called to use any one of these gifts, even if we don't regularly do it, even if we don't feel we have a particular, we sometimes talk about an anointing with a particular gift, where we use a gift over and over again and God seems to build on that. But even so, even if these are not our particular gifts, we can still expect that God will sometimes give us a word of knowledge, and we should be listening out for it for one another. Maybe he will give us a way of praising him in a new language. And perhaps he will answer our prayers for healing when we pray for someone. So then, how do we let God's word change our thinking or our behaviour? First of all, start with your heart. We might need to say sorry to God for neglecting a gift, not using it when it's needed, for misusing it, perhaps, for being envious of someone else's gift or proud of our own gifts. It might even be that jealousy has made you dislike someone simply because they have a particular gift. And that jealousy will damage the body of Christ. So let's examine our hearts. Then let's use our heads. Don't be ignorant about your faith. Keep searching, keep asking God to reveal himself. There's a lot more in that passage that Catherine read than I can cover right now. But get into it, read it carefully. Read the whole of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And ask the Lord, what are you saying to me through these words? Maybe read a book like Dirty Glory by Pete Gregg, where you will hear amazing stories similar to the one I gave you earlier. Have your mind open to what God is doing right here and now. What he can do with people who believe and trust in him. And then let's hold out our hands to receive new gifts. Don't rest until you understand what it is God has gifted you to do. Because he sure has. Whether you're right at the beginning of your life or somewhere towards the end of it, God still has vital things for you to do. Be determined to fulfill your whole potential. And don't fold your arms against what the Spirit gives. As this church gets ready to receive a new vicar, and that's great news, let's be sure that no one has folded their arms to resist playing their own vital part in this precious part of the body of Christ. Let's make sure we don't fold our arms and say, "No, Lord, I don't want any of the gifts you're offering me. I'm happy doing what I'm doing, thanks." Let's be people who open our arms to receive what God has to do. So as we think on that, please, would you stand, if you're able, would you stand with me and let's offer ourselves to the Lord. Please stand. And if it helps you to use your body to express what's going on in your heart or mind, then do hold your hands out however you like. Lord God, we know that we need to say sorry for the way in which we sometimes refuse your gifts, misuse your gifts, or use them only occasionally when you want us to use them all the time. We're sorry that we sometimes even resent people who are growing and flourishing as they let your Spirit work through them. Please forgive us and change us. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand, that you would speak to our minds and help us to understand more of what you want to do through us, the part you want us to play. And Heavenly Father, we do now just open our hands and say, please, give me the gifts you want me to have. Let's leave a little space for the Holy Spirit to do his work. And as we wait on him, do just listen and be ready to hear. Come, Holy Spirit.